not going to be long today, but I do feel something for us. If you would turn with me to John chapter 10, and then we're going to read several verses from Revelation chapter 13. But let's turn first to John chapter 10. This is an apostolic Pentecostal church. And if you read throughout the Bible, worship was something that was practiced all throughout the Bible. And you read through those Psalms about lifting up your voice and clapping your hands and shouting and dancing before the Lord. We believe that around here. Amen. And we're thankful for the outpouring of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Next week, Brother Charles Robinette will be here. Last time he was here, we had, I think, 10 or 11 receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the very first time. Isn't that awesome? And if you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues, I believe you could receive that right now here today. But amen. Definitely next week. You want to bring everybody you know that would like to have this real experience. Amen. Bring them with you. Let's believe God for a wonderful Christmas service next Sunday. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some of the way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Aren't you thankful that the good shepherd calls us by name? He knows us by name. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Today I want to preach to you on this thought: a name or a number? A name or a number? Which one would you prefer? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the atmosphere of worship and liberty that is in this house today. I pray that you would just help us to receive your voice speaking to our life, calling our name, reaching for us in this place. And I pray, God, that your work be done in every life. We give you all the praise for it in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In this world, it's depressing to find out that we are often considered just a number, without much individual importance or worth. We may simply find ourselves at times a statistic, really insignificant when compared to the whole, just an item, identified only by a zip code perhaps, or by a social security number. But on the other hand, as Christians, we are all individuals among a great cloud of witnesses. And we are personally worth much. Mark chapter 8, verse 37, in fact, declares, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul. You are worth much to God. In the last days, the Antichrist will transform our planet into a huge prison. The inmates of that prison will be numbered. But when the Lamb's Book of Life is opened, there will not be numbers there, but there will be names on its pages. The difference means absolutely everything. What will we choose, a prison or a paradise? The year was 1963. Leonard Crimp, the vice president of the Heinz Company of Canada, had just completed a successful business trip introducing his successor to the company's sales force and its customers in Eastern Canada. They were now returning home by the way of Toronto and Montreal, but it had been a problem day for flying and connections were difficult. Mr. Crimp tells the story. He says, "At Montreal, we were met by an airline hostess. 12 businessmen were anxious to reach Toronto. We were advised that arrangements had been made for us to take flight 831, scheduled to leave at 6:10 p.m. We were asked to follow the hostess from gate 5 to gate 41. My thoughts were only towards getting home as quickly as possible. Suddenly, the hostess stopped and asked if there were a Mr. Crimp in this group. I identified myself, and she asked me to return to gate 7 and to take flight 277 to Toronto. I objected. Flight 277 was a slower plane, and my coworker and I would be separated. The hostess expressed her regrets, but stated that she knew there was a seat for me on 277 and that my baggage on 831 would catch up with me in Toronto. So I turned and proceeded to gate 7. There I found the flight loaded and ready to depart. The agent asked where I'd come from and why I'd been assigned to this gate. His remark as he boarded me was, "Well, how confused can they get?" Seconds later, tragically, flight 831 took off and crashed 4 minutes later. But flight 277 was on its way to Toronto. There was a loss of 188 passengers, including 5 crew members. Mr. Crimp's baggage was on that plane, although he was not, and the baggage was destroyed. How is this miracle explained? He said it this way, "He calleth his own sheep by name." One critic of Mr. Crimp's story said this, "We live in a world where accidents can happen and risks must be run. God doesn't reach out in answer to prayer and change the course of events." But Mr. Crimp's New Testament was found in the wreckage of Flight 831, and these underlined verses were put on display by major newspapers. Psalm 121 and verse 7, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Another critic said this publicly, "Mr. Crimp believes that prayer is some kind of magical manipulation of nature and that God is a silly meddler in the affairs of men." "Nonsense," he said. To which Crimp replied, he said, "My escape was not merely coincidence. 5 people unknown to each other had a strange conviction that I was in danger and felt a compulsion to pray for me." Isaiah 43 and 1 tells us, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine." I've come to tell somebody today, you don't need to doubt anymore, but he calleth his own sheep by name. He formed us. He created us. We are his, and he calls us by name. He called Saul of Tarsus by name. as he traveled to Damascus, bent on persecuting the church there. But we read in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You can't get more personal than that. Jesus called Saul by name. Jesus reached for him personally. The Savior called him by name. Jesus knew from another world who Saul was, and he knew what Saul was doing and where Saul was going. He knew exactly the right street address to meet him there on that road to Damascus. I want to tell you today, salvation is that kind of experience. God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. God knows what we're facing. And he knows exactly what we need today. He calls us by name. He called Elijah by name. We're reading 1 Kings 19 and 9. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? The ministry of Elijah could have never made it without the personal touch of God in his life. Reading on in verse 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He was at the end, or so it seemed. Life was stacked against him. The enemy tried so hard to destroy him, but the Lord passed by, and there was a strong wind that tore into the mountains and broke the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And in verse 12, it says, And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And God again calls him by name. I tell you today, Elijah could have never made it without a personal relationship with God. He could have never stood up against the prophets of Baal. On his own, he would never have had strength to mock and heckle those prophets there on the mountaintop until they started cutting themselves and crying out. If Elijah had just been a number to God, then surely his prayer for fire from heaven would have never been answered. And after all of that, the spiritual onslaught released by Jezebel would have destroyed Elijah if he hadn't been called by name by God. Oh, I don't know about you today. I don't know about you, but I need that personal walk with the Lord. I need to know, like in services like this, that this is real and that God sees my heart and God knows where I am and His Spirit is moving in my life. I need to know that He knows me by name, that He sees my thoughts and He knows where I'm at. I need to know what Jeremiah declared in chapter 9, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I have that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. And not of evil to give you an expected end. How many of you want to know that God's thinking of you and that God knows your name and God is reaching for your life? What's the alternative? The impersonalization of this world's system where we as a person don't really count, where our life doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. That's just the doctrine of the devil right there, trying to tell us that we don't matter, trying to tell us that we're unimportant, that we don't count. It discounts the very work of God. God created us in His image. We do count. We do have a purpose. But in our society, individuals are disappearing. And now we are lumped into large groups of people based on our demographics, and this will continue throughout the end time. The earth under the Antichrist will be one vast concentration camp with everyone a number. Those who made it through the German concentration camps of World War II will tell you one of the worst forms of punishment came as they were reduced from a person to a number. No longer an individual with feelings and emotions and rights, but now just a number. It was as if they had ceased to exist while still trapped in their bodies in unbearable pain and torture. Jesus came to this earth to tell us that he cares and that people still matter to him. He put it this way in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Aren't you thankful for that? Two sparrows, they're sold for so cheap. They don't amount to hardly anything, but not a single sparrow falls to the ground that God doesn't see it and God doesn't realize it. So you don't fear. You don't be afraid today. You are valuable to God. You matter to him. You count to him much more than those sparrows. Much of our life is spent just being a number. We're just one of many students or many employees or whatever it is. Our work is just part of the total production, and we have to produce so many finished products, and we have to complete so many sales, and we have to make so many phone calls or achieve the proper grades, and we're just a number in a large, large group of other numbers. But we've got to be careful not to view our walk with God like that today. We must not consider the work of his church like that. We are more than just a number. We are more than just a number. We are more than just a digit on some spreadsheet somewhere. But as Paul declared in the last part of Galatians 2:20, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are not just a statistic, but we're important because Jesus Christ loved us and he gave himself for us. I tell you today, we matter to God. Your life matters to him. Your family is important to God. Your future is important to God today. Hallelujah. Like it or not, technology is rapidly advancing. Artificial intelligence is already at work in a great way. For those of you who use Gmail, Google Mail, just look at the way it now offers to help you finish your sentences. Robots and drones promise to drastically change our world in the near future. The world that is will soon become to be a world void of conscience and soul, but it will be a mechanical world run by numbers. In 1945, it was Dr. John Mauchly, a physicist working at the Moore School of Electrical Engineering at the University of Pennsylvania. In 1945, he built the world's first all-electronic digital computer. That computer was capable of solving a large class of numerical problems. Now, some 73 years later, it's estimated that there are over 2 billion personal computers in the world. Isn't that something? 2 billion personal computers in the world. This does not even include smartphones and tablets. Many of these computers are capable of performing several thousands of millions of calculations in 1 second. Several thousands of millions of calculations in 1 second. Much more than any human brain can do. And the end is not in sight. God said in Daniel 12:4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." That word increased means to multiply. Knowledge is multiplying. And we know that computer processing speeds are doubling at least every 2 years or so. That's a lot of numbers processed in 1 single second around the world by all of these 2 billion computers. a whole other binary dimension of zeros and ones working together in all of those computers, processed at thousands of millions at a time. But don't you want to be more than just a number? More than just a collection of zeros and ones within a machine. More than just a statistic. The Lord said in Revelation 3 and 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." I want to tell you, you're more than just a number to God. Oh, for those that are saved, he will not blot out our name, but he will confess it in heaven. Our identity will never be erased. I tell you, God knows exactly who you are. He knows every single thing there is to know about your life. He knows our thoughts. He knows our success. He sees our failure. He knows what gets on our nerves and what makes us happy. He understands exactly what you're going through today and what you're facing this week. God knows the answer for every problem that you'll ever face. And he's trying to reach every single one of us. He is reaching for us. Luke 19 and 10 declares, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You're not a number to God. He knows your name. Look at the case of Moses. He saw a bush on fire in the desert. And even though it was on fire, it wasn't burned. And as he investigated, we read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.'" Thank the Lord. Come on, what is it today that who is it here that you feel like you're lost out in the wilderness somewhere and nobody knows what you're going through and nobody sees where you're at? You're out there in the desert and maybe you feel like you have no future. You've made a mess of your life and nobody knows where you're living at. But I tell you, God knows your name and he's calling you today. Don't you leave here today without saying, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. I answer your call, Lord. Work in my life. Have your way in me." Samuel was just a child. He had been dedicated to the service of the Lord. And as he laid down to sleep, the Lord called him. He hadn't learned the voice of the Lord yet, and several times he goes to Eli. When finally Eli realized what was happening, he told him what to do if he heard that voice again. And we read in 1 Samuel 3 and 10, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" God knows your name today and he is calling you. Maybe you don't quite recognize it yet. Maybe you're like Samuel and you don't really know the Lord yet. But God is still calling you. He's speaking to your life. He's reaching for every single one of us personally. Don't leave here without answering today. Speak. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. She was just a slave girl, with no rights or choices of her own. Hagar was bound to do whatever her mistress told her to do. In the beginning, Sarah was all for it. But when Hagar became pregnant with Ishmael, Sarah despised her. Here was a slave girl. We don't know much about her except for she was an Egyptian. She was despised. She had been dealt with harshly. But the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain in the wilderness. We read in Genesis 16 and 8, "And he said, 'Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go?' And she said, 'I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah.' And the angel of the Lord said unto her, 'Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands.' And the angel of the Lord said unto her, 'I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude.' And the angel of the Lord said unto her, 'Behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction.'" It does not matter how low in life we've gone. It doesn't matter how despised you might be by those around you. It doesn't matter how hateful life has been to you. It doesn't matter how lonely you feel today. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made and how far you've gone from God's will in your life. I tell you, the Lord knows where you are, and He's found you today, and He's calling your name. Hagar began that day at the lowest of lows. But before the day was over, Genesis 16:13 tells us, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? God saw her in her sorrow. He heard her cry. He found her there by that fountain in the wilderness, and He called her by name. The name of the fountain there was called Berlacharo, which means well of the living one, seeing me. Well of the living one, seeing me. Don't think today you've just slipped in here undercover, and God doesn't know exactly what you're going through and exactly what you're facing. Don't think tonight, if you're listening to this recording or if you're listening to this online, that God doesn't see you right where you're at. He is the living God of heaven. He sees us. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through and what we're facing. And I tell you, He's calling you by name today. There's no telling what God wants to do in your life. There's no telling how your future is about to change. There's no way of knowing all that God wants to do for you. If you would just answer His call today, if you would just open your heart for His Spirit, if you'd let Him reach for you in His love and tender mercy, would you answer His call today? Would you stand with me in closing? What will it be? A name or just a number? Nobody wants to be a number. We all want to be where we have a personal experience. We all want to be somebody. Whether we're walking through the airport like Mr. Crimp, or if we're out in the wilderness like Moses, or if we've been cast aside and misunderstood like Hagar, we're all looking for someone to know our name. If you've ever read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, you've learned that the sweetest sound to any person is hearing their name. That's why they teach you in sales and in business, meet someone, get their name. Use it often. Because the sweetest sound to any person is hearing their name. I can't think of anything sweeter than hearing the Lord of heaven, God who created heaven and earth, God who breathed the life into every single one of us, God who looked at our life on in history and said, I cannot bear for them to be lost without me. And so He robed Himself in flesh and He came to this world to be like us so that we could be like Him. I can't think of anything sweeter today than that God of heaven calling my name, calling your name. He's reaching for you. He's reaching for me. Not only does He know our name, but He knows exactly what we need today. Maybe you're running from something like Elijah. Maybe you're in a wilderness like Moses. He may use a burning bush to get your attention, or it may just be a still small voice. But God cares about you. Oh, come on. Would you just push everything else out of your mind right now? Would you listen for the voice of God? God, help us to hear your call. Help us to hear that voice today, God. Help us to recognize what you are speaking to us. Let us hear you call us by name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we need you today. Jesus, we need you today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you will answer his call, I tell you, there are blessings in store for you. There is favor in store for you. If you'll answer his call, he'll save your eternal soul. He'll bless your life. I tell you, this is the only kind of religion worth having, where our God knows us by name, where he's really alive and he can touch our lives and we can feel him and we can hear him speak to us. At this time, we invite you to come around this altar at the front. If you're here today and you'd like somebody to pray with you, we've got people that will pray with you. If you're here today and you just want to be quiet and listen for the voice of God, I want to tell you God's reaching for you. All across this house, is there anybody you're hungry to hear God call you by name? Would you come here today, Lord? I hear your voice. Lord, I'm listening for you. God, I pray that you talk to me. Come on, there's some of you, there's a calling upon your life. And if you'll listen, if you'll drown out all the other noise, you'll hear his voice calling you. Come on, some of you, you've made some mistakes and you've made some failures, but oh, how sweet it is to hear him still calling your name. Would you come and let God speak to your life? Would you find a place of prayer right now and let God reach for you? Thank you, Jesus.